Ministries can be very, very difficult at times. Church can be difficult at times, let alone, you know, ministries and church. I'm not going to spend much time in the pulpit this morning, but I do want to share a few pieces with you because I need to let out at a certain time. But if you do have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians for just a few minutes in chapter 12. Since we're real personal today, I'll just come down here. Once you become a believer in Christ, God says you're very special to Him. Very, very special. I said something on Wednesday, and I want you guys to get it too that weren't here on Wednesday, because Wednesday we have worship here on Wednesday as well. But what I wanted to just tell you, when you pray to God, you're praying to the Holy Spirit and you're praying to Jesus as well. We call that the Trinity. It's not in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. Jesus says, as my Father and I are one, we are one together, and He wants us to be one with Him as well. So there's Jesus, there's the Father, and there's the Holy Spirit. And some people say, I don't quite understand how that can be. How can they all be one? Well, you take the form of water. Water in its solid state is pretty much water. It's water. But if you heat water up, it becomes steam. But it's still water. And if you freeze ice, freeze water, it becomes ice. But yet it's still water. It's the same way it is with the Holy Spirit. We got God, the Father, Jesus, our Savior, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. So when we pray to them, we pray to one, we pray to all of them, because they are one. But there is a place here that they have specific things that they do. Our Father, Father is the creator of all things, and Jesus is He is our Savior. Holy Spirit is God's Spirit that God puts inside of each believer so that we can figure out how to do things, because on our own we just can't do it. But I'm going to share something here with you in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It mentions all three of them. But it says in verse 4, this is talking about spiritual gifts. It says, there are diversities of gifts. That means different gifts, but the same Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And our Lord is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are different kinds of ministries. And it says, and there are diversities and there are differences of activities. But it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation, I know that's a big word, of the Spirit, it's a gift from the Spirit, is given to each one of us for the profit of all. I think today in our churches today, we're trying to get to a place where we're just trying to get everything for me. What's best for me? How am I going to get mine? How am I going to get mine? But he says that each one of us that are believers, we are given a spiritual gift. But the key is, we always talk about what the spiritual gifts are, but we never talk about this one part. It's given for what? For the profit of all. So you don't serve yourself. You serve these gifts. You serve God and you work them and you serve other people. It's for the uplifting of everyone. Uplifting for the church. Uplifting for these activities. Uplifting for the ministries. And he says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, as he had a list prior, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So if you're a believer here today, God's given you Brandy. He's given you a gift. You don't know what it is yet, but he's given you a spiritual gift just for Brandy. He's given you a special gift. He's given you at least one special gift. What it is it's something you can't do on your own. You don't know how to. You don't. It's something that God gives you. This gift. It's a spiritual, powerful gift. There's a whole bunch of them. But it seems like when you're working in an area, you just become really good at it. Might take some work for some of us. But as many of us are really trying to figure out what that gift is, or we're really trying to figure out how to work it. And the reason I say that is because our mentality in the church today, the church, I'm talking about many churches, and we even have it a little bit here, is how can I use that gift for myself and not use that gift for others? I think we struggle with that. I think we struggle also when we get these gifts and we understand, because sometimes some of you are giving more than one gift. Now, the shameful part of it is we can be babies in Christ our whole life with Christ and never know what that spiritual gift is. And I believe we'll lose blessings and we'll lose moments where we can help other people and edify and strengthen the church. But what happens sometimes is we get discouraged. How many of you have been discouraged in your walk in the Lord before? Come on now, and we all have, right? Well, Paul writes in the book of Timothy, he writes this thing in 2 Timothy. He gets to a place where Timothy he's struggling. I've struggled. You struggle with your walk with God? You struggle. But God is really good about encouraging. You see, sometimes when you got the gift of encouragement, you just go right over and start encouraging people. Sometimes it takes everything you got to do it. Now, Paul writes to Timothy, and he's going to do something, because sometimes we need to do that to one another in a positive way. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's a familiar verse, but he says there in verse 6, Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift. Were we just talking about gifts? Stir up the gift of God, which is through you, the laying on of hands. Timothy is a very young pastor. There's some people putting some heat on him right now, and he's struggling. You can kind of check that in the previous chapter or previous book in 1 Timothy. But he reminds him of something that I think we all need to remember. He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift. You can't just think I got this gift and I'm good to go. You gotta keep working it. You gotta keep using it. You gotta keep it sharp. And here, the scripture says you need to stir up that gift, fan into flame, another versions may say. You got to work it. You can't work it when you're not coming. You can't work it when you lay out of church all the time. You can't work it when you're not showing up when things are going on in the church. And there's times you can't make everything, but there's some things that you can be at. It's just not going to fan up. That flame's going to go down. And he says, listen, you need to fan this up. There's a part that we need to take responsibility for. But he says this in verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, Timothy, whatever your version says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We struggle with that fear because right now, we had a conversation on politics, half of us would be scared to death of what's going on in our country, what's going on across the world. I just want to set you straight and just want to remind you, God sits on the throne. And nobody can change. Nobody can outwit, outsmart God, outmaneuver God. Nobody surprises God. Does people disappoint God? Yeah. Does people walk away from God? Yeah. But also we need to be reminded that people are walking to God. But God is God. He is the one that sits on the throne. But He left us here. He left us here so that we would do His work. So we would do His work. As I look around, I see a lot of you guys are doing a lot of things in the church. You're doing a lot of things, but I want to remind you that you need to keep your walk with God strong, not just your walk with the church. But he goes over in chapter 3, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Let's just stop there. Men will be lovers of themselves. We like to say what is sin is okay. Listen, God's word is good from Genesis to Revelation. The whole thing. You can't pick and choose what you like, what you don't like. This isn't like going to Subway, picking your toppings. This is what he said. And he said at the end times, it's going to get rough. But he tells us a way to get through that. It's in verse 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, that means your beliefs, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which means how to live a godly life. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but how to live a godly life. Can we all admit today that we need to live a bit more godly? Can we admit that we need a little more instruction in the way we live our lives? He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why didn't God just take us when we got saved and baptized and just take us on up into heaven? Why didn't He do that? Because He wants us to stay here. And He gives us a spiritual gift that we might work and serve and be a light in the darkness that others might come and say, why do you have light and I don't? But the problem is today, the church is looking a lot like the world and not looking different. And we struggle with that. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they heap up for themselves teachers. And that's what we're doing, guys. In our churches today, we're putting in, across our country, we're putting in teachers that have different lifestyles, different things going on, and changing things and saying maybe God isn't the only God, and all these kind of things. And when it comes down to it, you got to figure out what you believe. And the problem is with America today, we're all about emotions. Emotions are great. God gave them to us. But I'm talking about when you make decisions, it's all off emotions. He says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure the affliction. And then he again says, do the work of an evangelist. He said this, that's because that's what his calling was. But he also said this, fulfill your ministry. Everybody here has a ministry. If you have Christ, everybody here has a ministry. You have a spiritual gift. God's heaped a lot into you. He's invested a lot into you. First thing he invested was his love. The second thing he invested was his son, Jesus Christ, and his life. Another part that he invested is he gave you a name. He gave you a name that he put in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you get heaven. You're part of the family of God. And once all, then he's also invested into you, giving something of himself. He gave you a spiritual gift to serve and work here on this earth until your time is over. And so we do that. And we need to do that. So then in the end, in verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, Paul says, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There's nothing better than you can say at the end of your life that you've kept the faith, that you fought the good fight. Now today, if I asked you a question, I wonder how you'd answer it. How's your life going? How are you and Jesus getting along? Are you trying to get God on your bandwagon, on your freight train, or you need to get on his? God's not going to get on our, he's not going to get on our line. He's not going to get on our path. The Bible says that we need to be on his path. And we're struggling as individuals in our country. Because we say, well, this is what I think. This is how I feel. Well, we can have I thinks and we can have I feels, but it needs to be upon the Word of God. And what I said on Wednesday, if you're struggling in your walk with the Lord and you want to get a little bit up, you're a little bit upset or whatever, just find a room and talk to God about it. In about 15, 20 minutes, if you're serious about it, you'll be repenting. Because that's just the way it works. There's something about being in the presence of God, what you thought was so big, he makes real small. And then he starts doing a work on you that you cannot do anywhere else but in front of him. God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. The Bible says, all call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Jesus says, for you are the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. He said, in the same way, let your ways be known, that they may serve you, that these lost people may come to know who you are in Christ, or know who he is in Christ through you. I think we need to get something figured out. Once we get saved, it's not about us anymore. God's taking care of us. So what does he want? What does he want? What does he want? Then that's a question that only you and him can answer together. And today we're going to I'm going to have this altar call here real quick. And it's going to be like this. If your life ain't right with God, it's not right because you're not right with God. God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't sin. But he loves you. He'll forgive you when you ask. He'll bless you. And even when you're just a rebellious child, guess what? He still lets the sun shine on you a little bit. Because he cannot deny himself. Even when we're faithless, the scripture says he cannot be faithless. for he will not and cannot deny himself. We have a good God. But are we good servants? Are we good children of God? Like I said, it's going to be real short today. But my challenge for you today is, if your life isn't right with God, you need to do something about it.